Everyone, and welcome to minute 60 of season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we foobar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off this week and finish off the first hour of this almost 3 hour epic film is a guy from I don't know, he did some podcast about this little known movie called Star Wars or something like that. Alex Robinson of the Star Wars Minute. Well, welcome back to the show, Alex.
Guten Tag. Thank you for having me back. Happy to close out the week here with a 1 hour mark.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, before we even get into anything about this minute, you know, you left us yesterday in the lurch by you know, by saying you're going to do a little bit of homework. Mm-hmm. So why don't you give us the answer? Is there any crossover between actors in this movie and in the Star Wars universe?
Yeah, you mentioned that you did not think there were any, and that surprised me given that it's such a huge cast of actors who were known. I'm like, surely someone did a voice role or something on Rebels or something. But I was only able to turn up one person who, and only on a technicality.
Okay. So who did you find?
Well, the one I found, according to, and this is a weird coincidence, the actor Leo Stransky, who played the German sniper for a minute and 56. So we actually got to see
the
guy. And apparently he is also in Casino Royale, and he did some stunt work or Rise of Skywalker. So getting in there on a technicality, Leon Stransky, who played the German sniper, he also did some stunt work for the Rise of Skywalker.
Wow. Very interesting. Okay, well, first of all,
30 years ago almost.
Yeah, seriously. And what's really, really cool is that on his IMDb page has the picture of him, you know, as the sniper getting ready to take a shot. Yeah. So I looked into it also, and I found three other actors who have some type of crossover. Okay. Again, it's somewhat of technicalities, but it's still, you know. So you have, first of all, an actor named Taylor Murphy, who in this movie plays, you know, when we're going with credits, you got to go with however the person is going to be credited. He's known as Sergeant Blaine.
Blaine.
Okay, I don't know who he is. Yes, Blaine.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what he's in this movie. And he was also in Star Wars Episode 1 as one of the battle droids.
Wow.
Meaning that he must have done... apparently he did the you know, the blue screen work for battle droids.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, and again, on IMDb, there is a picture of him doing blue screen or green screen work. So my assumption is that that's the scene they're talking about with him as one of the battle droids. I don't know. Again, it feels like a little bit of a technicality by adding him here, but okay, it's a connection. That's what we're looking for. There you go. Exactly. I mean, he's a stuntman, but you know, he's a stunt battle droid.
Yes. Yeah. Puppeteer kind of a thing.
Exactly. Then the next one I found is an actor named Frank Husayn, Husayn, who plays in this movie he plays one of the Germans.
Okay.
So he's also in Star Wars Episode 1, and he plays the character of Jen Smeal, who is a Royal Naboo security officer.
Oh, of course, right. Yeah.
How did you not know that?
It's a miniseries.
This is something you should have known. Plus
next role for 2029, I think.
It could be. Could be. And then the third one I found is an actor named Matthew Sharp.
Okay.
Who in this movie plays a character named, he's actually unnamed. So there you go. That's it just says Soldier on Beach.
Yeah. He's
something like that. But he is also in The Last Jedi.
Huh. Wow. As an actor?
He is in The Last Jedi as he's first of all the second unit okay. assistant director. I believe that might be he's also in The Rise of Skywalker as the first assistant step director.
Up from anonymous background actor.
There you go. That's right. And did he have any acting role? In The Last Jedi, he was Resistance Trench Sergeant Salty.
In the Last Jedi?
Yes.
That's a speaking part.
That I do not know. That I will. Wow. I leave to you to know that information.
Also, he must have put him in there because he was, you know, as like a little cameo because he was a second unit. He's the guy who licks the ground and goes salt when they're on the planet because just to make him prove to show you that it's not snow, it's salt that they're right. on, not snow. That's why it's right. totally different than The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, of course. Completely different. You know, how could anyone even think that it's the same thing?
No. Hoth you know. Was sour. People don't realize that, but this planet was salty.
Sure. And I'm trying to figure out what his, if he has any type of, actually on IMDb, there's a picture of him, you know, tasting the salt. So there you go.
The salt. Yeah.
Yeah.
An iconic role.
Apparently.
Mr. Salty.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that the second unit director will give himself a little bit of a cameo and something like that. You know, like, yeah, I guess it's just for the in joke of the whole thing. You know, and say, oh, this is salty.
I would totally put myself in cameos if I was directing a film.
I once met a director. I can't remember his name right now. He was from the movie The Believer.
Okay.
I think his name was Henry something. I'll tell you in a second. But there's a little scene where he it has a cameo in it. And at this Q&A that I was at, they asked him, you know, why did you decide to, you know, to put yourself in that role? This was a Ryan Gosling movie from 2001. Directed by Henry Bean. And he said everyone in the crew wanted me to play this role because this is a character who gets assassinated. You know.
Unpopular. So,
yeah. That's the way it sounds. You know, whether he was or wasn't, I couldn't tell you for sure. But, you know, it's interesting that would be the reason that he would do something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So we found a few connections. Nothing, nothing glaring. But
right.
as you mentioned, you know, there must be some. I mean, obviously we have John Williams as a connection. And Dale Dye is a connection.
That guy again.
That guy again. Yeah. Who did Dale
clear up? Clear down.
That's right. Where's Dale Dye in Star Wars? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't know. Is he in it?
Again, according to a search that I did, he does have something connected to Star Wars. What his role in Star Wars is, I do not know. I'm asking the Star Wars expert. You know, do you think he did like a boot camp for the rebels or for the stormtroopers or something?
I mean, I could definitely see either one of those, but it's not like, I don't feel like they started doing like realistic combat stuff until the modern movies. So,
you know, so you're saying that maybe he's like in Rogue One as one of the,
I could definitely see Rogue One because that probably has the most military, you know, stuff going on in it. There's a little bit in The Force Awakens, but, there's definitely a lot more military type story. And I assumed all those actors were all like, maybe they were, I don't know if the, I assume all the actors playing military guys that they said, okay, yeah, come work. Cause they're used to following orders. They know how to behave like military, you know, they wouldn't need to train them very much. But I don't know.
Right.
maybe he was the translator for the military guys also on like how to behave on a movie set and stuff. So
yeah, I mean, looking through his IMDb, I can't find something that's connected to Star Wars. So I'm curious why, you know, a quick search would have given me that. But, you know, yeah, again, you never know what type of role he might have had that would have been connected to that. Again, I don't see anything here that jumps out at me with that. So maybe Del Dai is not the connection. But obviously John Williams is. that one goes without saying. I don't think anyone would argue with that that connection between the two. Yeah. No, I don't see anything here.
And it's this alternate universe where Steven Spielberg directed Return of the Jedi.
maybe.
almost happened, except for Lucas was in a beef with the Directors Guild, and so they couldn't use an American director for him.
Yes.
It would have been a totally different film.
Who knows if it would have been as memorable as it is, you know, now. Who knows? Maybe more, maybe less. Because Spielberg would have done it. He wouldn't. Yeah. He would have done it very differently than Martian did. So. Okay. But we're actually here to talk about Saving Private Ryan. So why don't we get into this minute? Yeah, we're not out of time, but might as well, you know, people have come here to talk about this, so we hope that you know, when they come to listen to an episode, they don't have to wait 12 minutes to start talking about Saving Private Ryan. But why not? It happens. It does happen. I like letting the conversation go where it goes, so that's fine.
Well, mate, you can cut that part and have that be the end.
No, not at all. Let's start. At all. I don't play with the time and space continuum. No, not at all. The title. Very dangerous. Very dangerous.
It's dangerous.
Because you never know what can happen.
Fair enough. Very fast. Very dangerous.
You know, the consequences could be disastrous. Could be. That's right. Minute 60 begins with Horvath taking the lead and ends with Ryan trotting over to the men. So basically, we ended things yesterday with our friendship / Mexican standoff, where you know, these two guys up above just started shooting and killed all the German soldiers that were causing problems here. And this minute continues with Horvath running over towards where all these bodies are, and coming right over to the guy that we talked about yesterday that's slightly leaning against the table, completely, obviously dead. And basically, like, moves him, and you see, like, all this blood just splurt out of his mouth.
It's like he pushes him backwards into the arc of blood.
That's right.
Like,
and then Horvath goes, enough to make you feel, enough to make you old. And Miller responds, let's hope so. Do you have any idea what the hell they're talking about when they say that?
Well, the let's hope so, meaning like they hope they get to be old and survive this experience. I guess that's the more obvious
one. Right.
Maybe enough to make you feel old, because it's like you're seeing stuff that is so crazy, it just ages you ahead of your time. Like you emerge from the war with like gray hair, and I don't know, it's an odd expression.
Right. Okay. I mean, my interpretation of it means that, you know, we've seen enough of all this crap in this war. Let's just move on with our lives and get old. You know, we don't need any more war. That's my interpretation of it. You know. But you know, it's ironic that these two characters are the ones who are talking about it, though, because spoiler alert, neither of them makes it out of the next week. Not week of episodes, week in their time. they both make it past week 13.
Lucky 13.
Yes.
I just Googled the phrase thinking maybe it was something that they were quoting or something, and apparently the only reference to it is this film, so they must have just
made it up.
Made it
okay.
up.
It's very possible. Yeah. I mean, it's very I've had this problem on most of my seasons, that when I will Google a phrase to try and find out where the it originates. It usually originates in the movie that I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that experience with The Godfather a lot. I'm trying to look up something, and it turns out that it's not an old Italian thing. It was first mentioned in The Godfather.
Exactly. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And at this point, after Miller agrees with him, so he still looks up and he sees the soldiers up on top. And then Wade goes over and starts, checking one of the German soldiers who seems to still be alive. He seems to be writhing in pain. And, once again, it's showing us that Wade is a medic first and foremost. Doesn't matter who he's helping, he wants to help someone. I got to tell you, after all the times I've seen this movie, I've never noticed that before, that he runs over to there, because it happens so quickly. It's like we get 2 seconds of it with him running over to check it out. But I like it. And then we see...
It's strange to me because to me it feels like it's once again showing how great the Americans are by like, oh, not only did they, they're actually going to help the Germans, even though the Germans are savages who are just trying to kill us, I'm still going to go over there and help them. And also, none of the guys on the American side need medical assistance. Like, not the Germans didn't get a single shot out of all those guys.
Well, none of the Americans on the downstairs portion fired a shot anyway. Which we'll get to later today also. We'll talk, but none of them fired a shot. It's one of those ironies that I'm trying to remember what movie it is. There's some movie where there's an actor or an actress that doesn't fire a single shot. They have a gun throughout the whole thing, and there's a lot of things going on, and they never fire their gun. And it's something that you're not supposed to really even realize until you think about it afterwards. You're like, wow.
Oh, that's cool.
I can't remember offhand what I'm referring to, but I don't know. And then the soldiers from up on top start walking down the stairs, which I would think that those stairs must not be very sturdy, also just like the rest of the courtyard around them. But he somehow makes it through it, and we get to see who this actor is who's playing. This first character, are you familiar with this actor from anywhere?
Are you talking about Edward Ted Danson?
Yes, that is who I'm talking about.
Yes, I'm familiar with him.
Isn't he a former baseball player who runs a bar or something like that in Boston?
I was surprised to see him show up. I mean, I don't remember at the time if I was, but I mean now I'd forgotten that he was in the film, and so it's... It's definitely in that time where he was trying to get away from being Sam Malone.
Yes.
And was trying to, like, do different things besides. And eventually he climbed his way out.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I do remember being shocked seeing him in this movie because basically most people didn't see him in any movies, from Three Men and a Baby till this movie. It's like that sort of ruined his movie career. At the time he was on TV, but just to see him in this little role for me, I remember that it just jumped out at me, and then, so he introduces himself and says, Fred Hamill, Pathfinders, 101st. Mm-hmm. So let's go through these four things that he mentions. First of all, he says, okay, his name is Fred. Do you know, obviously Fred is a shortened version of Frederick. Do you know what Frederick means?
Frederick means brave heart.
It means
also same for Alfred.
No, okay, it's peaceful ruler.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Okay, and it was ranked as among the top 100 names in the U.S. between 1880 and 1957.
Uh huh.
What do you think its ranking is today? Like, what number most popular name do you think it is for boys in the U.S. Nowadays?
Are you talking about the name?
The name Fred.
Frederick or?
Fred or Frederick.
Just the name Fred.
Well, it doesn't matter. Okay. Fred or Frederick. We'll use either.
Well, I know it's obviously taken quite a hit in the past 50 years. Probably since Fred Flintstone, I'm saying, it's probably the first one who really started ruining Fred as a name. Because I can't think of any even pop cultural Freds after that that are, like, cool people or anything.
Right. Okay. That's fair.
I'll say it is out of the top, not even in the top 200.
It is not even in, it's not even in the top 500. It's 536.
Okay.
Okay, that's in the U.S.
Okay, yeah.
Now, what do you think about in England? What, where do you think it's ranked in England?
Red. Now in England, it is the it's number 157.
It is 99. So you're right about the fact that it's
99.
You're right about the fact that it is much more popular than one would have thought.
I feel like there's more just British Freddies. Like, that makes me think of it. Maybe just because Freddie Mercury's popular, more popular than.
Okay, could be.
But Freddie seems like a more British thing than an American thing.
Right. Okay. Besides Fred Flintstone, can you think of any other pop culture fictional characters named Fred?
Fred. Cartoonist Fred Hembeck?
No, I'm talking about characters. Oh boy. Characters, not real people.
Well, he was a comic strip, so that's
okay.
But anyway. Famous Freds. That's funny. I'm totally stumped. I would have thought I'd been able to name at least three, but all I can keep focusing us on is Fred Flintstone. Fred Mertz.
Very good. Very Lyle good, Luke. Fred Mertz.
Freddie Prinz. I don't know if he was a comedian, not a character. Fred, isn't there a Fred? One of those, there's a guy named Fred.
I don't see that. I don't see that on the list.
Fred,
so. I mean, it is possible. It is possible. Hmm. Okay, right. From Sanford and Son, okay. You have Fred Sanford.
All right.
Okay, then who else do we have here on this list? Fred Jones. Do you know where Fred Jones is from?
Fred Jones. Oh, is that from Scooby-Doo?
Yes, it is. Very good.
All right.
Very good.
Again, a Freddy.
Exactly. Okay. Wait, they call him Freddy or they call him Fred? I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen Scooby-Doo. Called
him Freddy, but anyway. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Then another one is from the Harry Potter franchise. You familiar with any Freds from there?
Fred Weasley?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. When you're asked the question like that about Harry Potter, it's probably one of the Weasleys.
You can't go wrong guessing Weasley as the first name.
That's right. Those are the ones I found. Okay. So now we're going to go with his last name. Do you remember the last name of this Hamill? Character?
Hamill?
Yes. Have you ever heard the name Hamill before?
I think
well, first of all, let's go. Hermit. Yeah. Well, let's go. What do you think the definition of the name Hamill is?
Hamill is a man or woman who makes pork products. You must go contact the Hamill.
No, actually, it's the nickname for someone from. There's a few answers here. In England, it's the nickname for a maimed person or someone with a distinctive scar. Hamill meaning mutilated, scarred. Which,
yikes.
Again, that it's very interesting how that one fits in, you know, with the backstory between what happened between Star Wars and Empire. You know?
Yeah.
So I thought that was hilarious that they have it. It also could mean someone who is active.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Can you think of anyone else who's famous with the last name Hamill?
Well, there's ice skater Dorothy Hamill.
That is correct.
There is Peter Hamill. There's a writer who used to write for a bunch of New York publications. Pete Hamill?
That's right. That's right. That's right. Passed away in 2020. Yep.
Yeah. Hamill. Oh, Nathan Hamill, the artist and actor.
Okay.
Those are the three I'm going to say. Are there more?
Well, what Mark?
Oh, yeah, Mark Hamill, actually the father of Ethan
Hamill. You ever heard of him? You ever heard of him?
That one. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. No, it was a given. I understand. It was someone that we already had talked about. Yeah. So, no, there's no one else on this list that really jumps out at me as someone that we should have known. There's a lot of rugby players and footballers, you know, from Australia and Scotland, stuff like that. Because Hamill also is a shortened version of the family name Hamilton, and it is basically someone who's the son of Hamill. Someone, you know, from the area known as Hamill, which is the name of a town.
Which is all made up of just disfigured, scarred, mutilated people. Apparently. They made them all go live there.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Harsh.
Correct. then he mentions that he's from the, he just mentioned Pathfinders.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Pathfinders is actually the name of the unit. It is the nickname for the 8th Infantry Division.
Okay.
Which was started before World War I, and it went all the way through Operation Desert Storm when it was decommissioned and inactivated on 17th of January 1992.
That's suspicious. How would they deactivate it?
I don't know the reason. Maybe there are no more paths to find. There you go. That's a good possibility.
The last of the original Pathfinders go, and they're like, okay, we can finally put this thing to rest. So they're not called the Pathfinders because they're like scouts or anything.
No.
Okay, it's just
I think it's the idea that they're the ones who go first, you know, that type of thing. Because again, half paratroopers went in first. You know, that was the whole idea there.
Yeah. Okay. So they are kind of like it isn't just it does have some connection with their job, which is going into uncharted territories
and being the first to find the paths.
It's securing the area.
Got it. Okay. I guess so.
That's a cool job.
I mean, it's the division in the army. They said, okay, these are the guys that are going to go in first.
Right, but I mean, as divisions go, like if you're trying to impress someone, if you're like, yeah, I'm a Pathfinder, I jump out of planes, I land in enemy territory, that's more impressive than like, oh yeah, I'm in the back giving guys
and we have the highest casualty rate of anyone. So yeah
exactly. I mean, that's not a job I'd want, but it is a cool job.
Yeah. Okay. That is fair. So the idea obviously is you know, here he's part of the 101st Paratroopers. That's who we're looking for. We're looking for Private Ryan of the 101st. So that makes sense also. Then Miller responds to him and goes, John Miller, Second Rangers, thank you. You know, which I think he should deserve more than just a thank you for what they just did.
Yeah, well, you know, they got to downplay it in the army. You don't want to make a big
That would have been a very, very messy situation had Hamill not shown up there.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
They'd still be screaming at each other over the...
That's right.
Broken wall.
That's true. And then Miller starts to explain to him a little bit about, you know, their mission. He goes, we're here looking for a Private James Ryan. He's part of your outfit. Any chance at all you policed him up? Now, do you have any idea what policed him up means?
I don't know for sure. I'm only guessing from context, but no, basically no. I have no idea.
Okay. What would it?
I would think it would be that my guess would be that it's you, if you pick up people from like decimated or wrecked, and they kind of tag along with your group until they can get back somehow reunited, like almost like police picking up a vagrant.
Okay, and that is the answer. That's what it is. It's World War II Army jargon. To police an area meant to go over it carefully, picking up the stragglers, you know, along the way, and having them join you. That's some of the things that happened in real life, not just in this movie. That, you know, the guys got together and they made makeshift units along the way because of everything that was going on.
Yeah, you get separated, you get, you know.
That's right.
Split up.
And then Hamill looks at him and goes, how's the road in? He goes, scenic. I don't know if that's, you know, he's being a little facetious with that, about how it being sort of scenic, but okay.
Yeah.
And then he says, we lost most of our ammo, which we have no idea when this happened or how it happened, because it's not mentioned. Because he says we lost it. He didn't say we used most of our ammo. He lost it. And didn't they just do an ammo check, earlier this week?
That's probably when they realized that they didn't have
any more ammo. Where the hell did all that ammo go? I thought we had more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We left it in the bin.
Apparently. And
you lost. You just lost it. That's all. That's exactly. The only thing.
We lost it.
Anyway.
And then, Horvath throws in, not to mention one of our men, which I would have expected them to give that line to Ryben. For him to gripe him. Yeah. It sounds a little more, more Ryben-esque.
Yes.
Yeah. And you notice at this point they're walking through this town, and it not only does it look like it's sunny, but it doesn't even look like it just stopped raining. It doesn't look like they're walking through puddles and things like that. You know, the seasons have changed.
That's right. Like 4 days later. That's the time that they lost their ammo in between those two.
That
those
is two, very, two very possible. It's very possible.
Yeah. The whole huge deleted sequence of them going on crazy adventures together. And that's when they wind up losing. A, it stops raining.
That's and right. B, Miller and Hamill ammo. Together again.
The one who mills and the one who is disfigured. Perfect team.
Maybe. Never know. Never know.
Never know.
There's time for a sequel. Let's get a 25 plus year older, Tom Hanks, and a 25 plus year older Ted Danson to get together, and do a.
De-age them.
Well, then you don't even need them at that point. with the way that they're doing it.
That's true.
And as they're walking, then Hamill just mid. Discussion just stops and goes, Lieutenant, redeploy that bazooka to the right side of the road. Yes, sir. And get Ryan up here. And then the lieutenant starts screaming, Ryan, Ryan, front and center. Ryan.
I couldn't believe I get the minute where we actually save the actual no, you Private get to, Ryan.
Where they say Private Ryan, not necessarily save.
Oh, you're right. Seeing Private Ryan.
That's right.
Okay, fair enough.
And as the minute is ending, we get this Ryan just running towards him, and he's running in a strange way, but okay, running.
He probably has a rock in his shoe.
Well, we don't even know if Hill got his rock out of his shoe. If I remember correctly, I don't even think we ever see Hill again. I think he's gone from this movie. He was getting ready to make his little trip across Napa Valley just to see how much wine he can drink. Exactly.
C'est la guerre. I like to when I watch movies, I like to sometimes imagine like what other kind of like what you were just doing, like taking an actor and saying, okay, what other role have they done that this is the same character? Like, this is obviously Kip Wilson from Bosom Buddies. This is wartime experience, and Tom Hanks is playing that scene.
Well, he's character. He's dressed so, very differently than, you know, than he was on Bosom Buddies. Yes.
Yes. But I'm thinking this Paul Giamatti is the same Paul Giamatti who played the Rhino in that Spider-Man.
Okay, that makes sense.
Hill is the Rhino in Spider-Man. So
right,
it really changes the context.
Yeah. Okay. Because especially where did he get his Russian accent from?
Yeah. Well, he spent years in a prison camp when he got captured after the war. So
that could be because he was still trying to get that pebble out of his boot that was hitchhiking its way across Europe in his boot.
The boot was actually radioactive, and it gave him incredible powers and strength that he could then.
Oh wow, blah, blah, blah. That's a great idea. Yeah. I like that one. I like it.
The atomic Rhino.
Yeah. And then, so again, as this minute is ending, we see in the distance Ryan running towards them. And people are going to have to come back on Monday to find out who this Ryan is. Is this the Ryan? Is this movie going to be over in an hour? Is the next half of the movie that, you know, they have to go back with Ryan? Who knows? You know, come back on Monday to find out.
All right. I'll be here.
All right. Do you have anything else you wanted to say about this minute or the movie in general?
Sampling it this way did make me curious to possibly give it another sampling. Like I said, I watched Band of Brothers probably more times than I've seen Private Ryan, and it seems like the kind of a spiritual forefather. So maybe I should go back and give it another another shot.
Okay.
That's it.
That makes sense. That makes sense. All right. So every Friday.
Another shot.
I got it. Just as long as it's not a friendship standoff, you're good.
Standoff. All right, good.
All right. So every Friday we have a segment called Filmmaker Friday, where my guests will give their top five Steven Spielberg directed films. Yeah, you might have heard of this director. Yeah.
Yes, become a young kid.
Yeah.
He's a real fable man, I hear.
Yes.
So, did you see that one, The Fableman?
Yes, I did. I like it a lot.
Is it good?
I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah.
All right. So you want me to go down my list?
That would be nice.
Spielberg movies. You know, it was tough because you know you conveniently send along a link to all their IMDb pages. So I went and checked out Steven Spielberg's. He has a lot of movies.
Yes.
And
surprisingly,
a lot of them I've not seen. Like his output of the past 20 years, I think I've maybe seen like one or two of his movies. It's weird.
Wow. Okay.
So perhaps not unexpectedly, I think almost all of my movies are from the 20th century.
Okay. So that's fair. I think most people's lists are with that. There might be a few from the beginning of the 21st century, but in general.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah. I wonder if he's anyway. For number five. I went with The Color Purple, which is one I feel like that doesn't get a lot of – it's been a long time since I've seen it, so I don't know if this is – but I remember it being good, and it seems kind of like a slight outlier of – you know, I guess that was the first of his serious movies was Color Purple. Anyway, this one, not technically a Steven Spielberg movie, but by all accounts, it was a Steven Spielberg movie, and I'm going to say Poltergeist, which was – again, another cable favorite that I watched a million times growing up. And I don't know if you count that or not, but I'm counting it. So,
okay. If you want to count it, you can count it.
Number three, I will go with Schindler's List. Schindler's List, which, again, I enjoyed. There's some, obviously, a lot of emotional drama and also some surprising humor from time to time.
That's true. That's true. It's always amazing when you look at people doing top fives of Steven Spielberg, where one of what most people consider his momentous work is still third on the list. You know, when most people, but again, obviously it's all subjective and stuff like that. I'm not saying that Schindler's List is my favorite or anything like that. I'm just saying when you look at it from the perspective, you know. When people look at Steven Spielberg's career, it's just amazing how many movies, you know, don't even make it into the top five or 10. And they're, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you were to say list all your favorite Spielberg movies, I definitely could have gotten, you know, at least another, you know, five or six entries. Number two would be Jaws, the summer blockbuster. Eminently watchable and rewatchable. It's the kind of movie, if you see it and it's on, you start watching it, you're like, I'll just watch until this next scene goes. Okay, I'll just watch it until the next scene goes. Next thing you know, you're discussing the Indianapolis and you're like, the heck, I might as well stay in for the whole thing.
Exactly.
And along similar lines, The Raiders of the Lost Ark, far and away the best of the Indiana Jones movies. In fact, I would even say it's probably I would go so far as to say that it's like, in a league above
a league of its own.
I mean, it's It is above that too, but it's also above the, like, I don't even think Indiana Jones, the other Indiana Jones movies, even like are close.
Okay,
you know what I mean. Not quite Jaws, Jaws 2 level, but like a big drop from there. It's like the perfect action movie in my opinion. Wow.
Okay,
so there you go. I would say I like it better than Star Wars.
When you're talking about Steven Spielberg perspective or in general?
No, I'm just in general. Like, if you say, okay, you can watch Raiders of the Lost Ark or you can watch Star Wars, which one do you want to watch? It would be a very close. It would be a very close.
And Raiders would win, you'd say?
I don't know. I would put Raiders, if I was ranking the Star Wars movies, I would put Raiders like at number 2 behind Star Wars, but better than Empire Strikes Back.
Okay, so you see, my next question to you was, is then why did you start the Star Wars minute instead of the Raiders of the Lost Ark minute, because there wasn't someone else who was doing it at the time.
Right, yeah. Well, it wasn't so much a matter of which movie do we like the best, it was almost like which movie do we enjoy talking about the most.
Okay.
And say what you will about Star Wars, it has much more, like, fan interaction and things like that than it does than Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's for sure, so. That's completely true. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair
enough. So, that covers my my list.
All right.
I'm sure some people throw in Jurassic Park.
Yes, of course. Most people have Jurassic Park on their list.
Okay. What are some of the other outliers that show up there from time to time?
Saving Private Ryan.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. Just being the show.
Catch Me If You Can. We've had two people mention Close Encounters. Had two people mention it. Last Crusade had two people mention it. E.T. had two people mention it.
All right.
Yeah, most of the others just have one person who mentioned them and stuff like that.
Right.
So, yeah. All but right. Again, that's the whole idea here of this. You know.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, currently the front runner is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay, that makes
points sense. Wise.
Are you weighting them by like people who picked it number one?
Versus yes, of course. Of course.
Okay, wow. Nice.
Of course. Number one gets 5 points, number two gets 4, so on and so forth. You know.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And we're at week 12, so you've had, I assume, 11 previous guests.
The way it works, when you're on week 12, you've had 11 people on before. Usually, you know.
At least airing-wise.
I'm saying airing-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yes. All right. Great. So, Alex, would you like for one final time this season to tell everyone where they can find Alex Robinson?
I am, in addition to being a podcaster and making music, I have released several graphic novels. One called Box Office Poison, one called Too Cool to Be Forgotten, one called Tricked, and one called Our Expanding Universe. I almost did not remember the name of my own book. You can get all of those at topshelfcomics.com. They'll probably give you some deal if you buy more than one, so check it out. All available in paperback and in hardcover if you really want to splurge and treat yourself. So check that out, topshelfcomics.com.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Run Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, moverobminute.com, or if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moverobminute@moverob.net. So, Alex, thank you very much for coming back and joining me to talk about a movie that you've actually seen. That works.
A while ago. Still counts.
You've seen it. you know what will happen. So there you go. You get points for that. So right. I thank you for that.
Points we can get.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. So I appreciate it. Thank you for joining us. And I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But until then, earn it.
My solitude.